It's time to talk to Mary McKeown and Cal Thomas about all the things going on in the United States. I want to start with the Democrats. Do you think, Cal Thomas, rightly or wrongly, has Donald Trump managed to torpedo Joe Biden's attempts to become the Democratic Party nominee?
Well, I think Joe Biden and his son, Hunter Biden, Matt, have torpedoed themselves. Hunter Biden just said today in an interview with Good Morning America on ABC this morning that if his father becomes president, he's not going to serve on any foreign boards, and he's going to resign from the Chinese one that he's on in January of next year, I think he said. But if there was nothing inappropriate about this, so why resign at all? I mean, here's a guy who got an estimated $50,000 a month from the Ukraine to serve on a board of energy board with absolutely no background or experience in the field at all. And this is not limited. I mean, this should not be partisan. You got Rudy Giuliani in there, the president's lawyer, taking $500,000 from Ukraine. You got Nancy Pelosi's son, who's got money from the Ukraine. There's too much money in politics. We need to do something about it. It costs far too much to run for president, and the whole idea of all of this money is corrupting on its face.
Mary McKeown, it sounds like somebody should be draining the swamp.
I know it does, doesn't it? I wouldn't disagree with a single word Cal said, but I would add the Trump children and Jared Kushner and his very grabby family to the equation.
I'm sorry, can you add the president himself? The president is making all the money through the hotels.
Indeed. You know, I mean, it's impossible to talk about corruption in politics without talking about the Trumps. They epitomize it. And I saw the interview with Hunter Biden this morning on ABC. You know, I mean, he was combative. I didn't think he was unsympathetic. He said there was no criminal wrongdoing. It was a lapse in judgment. It was. Because you know what? I agree with you, Cal. A vice president's son who knows nothing about oil taking $50,000 a month to sit in a company is tacky. And even if he did nothing wrong, it doesn't look good and he shouldn't have done it. So I'm completely with you on that. But he is not the only one. And I also think that, you know, Cal, I do kind of agree with you. I think that Joe Biden hasn't helped himself with this at all. Yes, you know, he's allowed Trump to define him. It's like they've learned nothing from the Hillary Clinton debacle. He's come out swinging now, but it's really too little too late. But I never thought Biden would go the distance anyway, so I'm not sure he can blame Trump for that.
Okay.
He's not running a great campaign.
We'll come back to who the Democratic candidate could be in a moment, but I want to ask you a bit more, Cal, about Rudy Giuliani, because could the former mayor of New York, a hero after 9/11, could he be the loose cannon who will blow up his president, Donald Trump, with his behavior and actions?
Well, he could be, Matt, but, you know, one of the things that troubles me about this, and I'm trying to be fair about it. I mean, I'm partisan. I'm a conservative. I vote mostly for Republicans. But I think the way all of this impeachment investigation is being handled is really unfair. The Democrats get to call their own witnesses. They're held behind closed doors. Republicans don't get to cross-examine or call their own witnesses. This was the strength of the Watergate investigation. The Democrats who led the investigation had it open. It was televised every day. Republicans could call their own witnesses and cross-examine other witnesses, and that is what shaped public opinion. All of this business being done in secret, the innuendos, the sources say, no names, nobody being put under oath, nobody being cross-examined, contributes, I think, to the lack of credibility and the partisanship that's going on.
Marion, is that a fair assessment?
I think it's pretty fair. You know, I know the Democrats are saying that the reason they're being held behind closed doors and in secret is that they don't want other witnesses contaminated. But, you know, I think let in the daylight. Because, look, if people want to collude and fix their testimony, that's not going to stop it anyway. I think that it should be more open. And, you know, I mean, even I was speaking to somebody earlier this morning about Fiona Hill's testimony yesterday. They said it was explosive and that had this testimony become public, it would have done Donald Trump, Giuliani, and even Bolton absolutely no favors, that it really showed what was going on. So I'm not clear why they are doing all this behind closed doors. I don't think they're helping themselves. And I think you're right, Cal, that transparency is always best.
Okay, well, stay with you, Marion. What about Giuliani? I mean, he seems like he's completely wired to the moon, has been on his TV appearances for the last couple of years. But if he's the lawyer, the personal lawyer giving counsel to Donald Trump, how much damage could he do with some mad advice?
Well, you know, Giuliani and Trump are in many ways two peas in a pod. They both think that they're above the law and they can do whatever they want. Giuliani, and I think Bolton described him as a hand grenade, according to Fiona Hill, who would blow everybody up. But I think he's right. Giuliani is unhinged. The last time I spoke with Giuliani, I think it was around the time of the inauguration. And the man is not stable. And I think he hasn't been for a long time. And why anybody would choose him as their lawyer, never mind their fixer, never mind sending him out to run around the Ukraine and run a shadow foreign policy. It just shows catastrophic judgment, if nothing else, on Trump's behalf. The people he surrounds himself with are just absolutely appalling. They show such bad judgment. I'm not talking about cabinet appointees who, you know, some of whom are actually not that bad. I'm talking about his buddies, the people he gets into bed with, the Michael Cohens, the Giulianis. And one of the great ironies now is that Giuliani, who was a U.S. attorney, an assistant attorney, and worked for the Southern District, might now find himself in their crosshairs. They're investigating him. So the ultimate irony for Giuliani, talk about a story arc, would be that somebody who started out as a U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York ends up being prosecuted by him, and it's not beyond the realms of possibility at all.
Cal, your assessment of where the Democrats are going. They have another TV debate tonight. 12 candidates taking the stage. If we're saying that Biden has been weakened dramatically, what about Bernie Sanders, given his recent heart attack? Is it implausible to believe that a man of his age, now with a serious health condition, can actually become the Democratic candidate?
That's correct, Matt. Usually people have their medical incidents after they get into office, or they cover them up like John Kennedy did before they get into office. I think this is a serious problem. Bernie's people today said they're not going to say when he's going to return to the campaign. He will show up tonight, but he's had a heart attack and two stents in his heart. This is not exactly the kind of health profile you want in a president of the United States. The other problem for Joe Biden is that he looks and sounds old. He doesn't speak quickly and cohesively and cogently. I think Elizabeth Warren will be all over him. He's going to have a real problem with Hunter Biden, his son, and the imagery of that. You've got Pete Steyer, the billionaire, who is the first one in this tonight, the first Democrat to be on the stage tonight with all the others. But 12 is still too many. I mean, it's going to divide opinion. And a lot of Washington, by the way, is going to be watching the Washington Nationals St. Louis Cardinals baseball game, because that's more exciting than anything going on political in that town.
Okay, but
one
Cal,
win for my Nationals.
Cal, could it be though? I want to put it to you, Cal, though, that Elizabeth Warren is looking more and more impressive, and that she also has an ability to get under the skin of Donald Trump, which could be to the Democrats' advantage. What's your assessment of her?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think that's true. But look, the Democrats are all basically the same. They can't talk about the economy because it's roaring. They can't talk about the stock market because it's setting new records. They can't talk about African-American, Hispanic unemployment because that is at record lows. What are they going to talk about? Okay, they can talk about Trump abandoning the Kurds, and I'm on their side on this. I've got a column on this today. I think it was a terrible moral decision. You don't end a war by just pulling out when the other side continues to fight, and I think that's a big problem, and I think Democrats will hit him, and rightly so on that.
But
so,
also,
I think.
Sorry, Marion, is it also that Elizabeth Warren has identified points in the economy which could be very important, such as her willingness to tackle the absolute monopoly of Facebook, to look to break it up, the fact that she has concentrated on the disgraceful disparity between Wall Street wages and what the ordinary workers get, that she, despite the fact that Wall Street seems to be against her, could be the type of person who saves capitalism?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Look, Joe Biden, in my view, and Bernie Sanders, I think, certainly neither of them are going to be the Democratic candidate. The Democrats don't have a great bench. Elizabeth Warren is very, very smart. I think she's the smartest of all the candidates by a long shot. She really understands the economy. She understands business. She understands capitalism. And she's not afraid to say what she thinks about it. I think at the moment she is doing very well. She's got some weaknesses, which we don't have time to go into. But I think tonight she's in arguably the strongest position, and it's tonight is kind of hers to mess up, really, because, as you say, she knows her stuff, and she has got ideas, and she has got policies, and, you know, as I said, she's certainly, I think, in my view, a lot stronger than either Biden or Sanders.
Now, there's one story from the States that I'm fascinated by at present, Cal, which is sort of geopolitical, but it involves basketball. And this is extraordinary in that the manager of the Houston Rockets, Dave Morey, tweeted in relation to Hong Kong. And the Chinese authorities have come down on the National Basketball Association in extraordinary fashion. And the obsequiousness with which the response has come in to try and save the money to America that comes from China is extraordinary. What do you make of this situation?
Well, Mac, you touched on the central issue. It's the money that comes in. It's the sneakers. It's the huge fan base in China. And it's not only the National Basketball Association and LeBron James, probably their biggest star, who is guilty of this. Universities and other corporations have been kowtowing to the Chinese, overlooking their human rights violations for years because they want the money. And the Chinese know this, and they play us like a fiddle. LeBron James comes out with a statement that the head of the NBA is ignorant about what's really going on in China, and the Chinese, through their spokespersons, praise LeBron James. Now, I don't think I want to be praised by a dictatorship that murders people without fair trials, that imprisons them, that doesn't have freedom of speech or freedom of the press. So I think this is really bizarre, but it is all about the money, as you suggest.
Yeah, Marion, this is pretty shameful stuff from the billionaires of basketball, isn't it?
You know, Matt, you know what's really depressing about this is that, and we're seeing this more and more in America, that people prefer money to democracy. And this, to me, is going to be the downfall of America if it happens. I was in China a couple of weeks ago. If you go to Shanghai or Beijing, it's like being on Fifth Avenue. It's nothing but Gucci, Chanel, Tiffany. There are more Porsches there than I've ever seen in the States. And the Chinese are prepared to tolerate this because they're making a lot of money now. And America is giving away its democracy piece by piece for money. And this is just another example.
Okay, but nothing is going to be done about it, is it?
No, not at the moment, not with the current occupant of the White House.
Okay. To finish with you, Cal, we all know that Fox News, for whom you once worked, is just a propaganda machine. But I think you believe CNN is simply the similar example on the left. Tell us why.
Well, I wouldn't say it's a propaganda machine. Look, it has opinion shows like MSNBC and the others. But, yeah, I think this Project Veritas... They put a camera on some people in there, hidden cameras, and they got people like the president of CNN, Jeff Zucker, and a number of others to basically admit that they were slanting the news in an anti-Trump, pro-impeachment direction. Now, this is not news to some of us who are conservatives, but I think to have it on the record like this is significant. It's shameful. It's not the kind of journalism I grew up with. They're not the kind of mentors at CNN that I knew when I worked for NBC News many years ago. But I don't think anything's going to change because everybody appeals to their base now. It has nothing to do with real journalism.
Okay, your response to that in 30 seconds, Marion McCown?
James O'Keefe, Project Veritas, is one of the most discredited people in America, Cal. As we both know, I would take nothing he says seriously at all. And, you know, I mean, both, you're right, all news organizations at the moment, certainly cable news channels, have their views, but I didn't see anything inherently wrong with it. I think it's a storm in a teacup.
Thank you very much, Marion McKeown and Cal Thomas, for joining us from the United States this evening.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.